Just drafted Earl Wolf out of NC State. You know, first team all conference player, was their leading tackler, very explosive, can run, can jump, tough, hard nosed, physical player. Talking to their coaches just before we picked him, you know, they just couldn't say enough good things about him. And it's ironically, after our pick that went through, he's actually the son of a military family. So it's he was just a great kid. We had him on the phone. He's excited to be here. You know, everything the coaches said about him just kind of rings true in what we want, the type of guy you want in your building. And then when you watch film, an explosive, tough, hard-nosed physical player, when you can add some depth to your secondary, it's always a positive. So we kind of held our breath. You know, he was a guy that we had targeted a lot higher. And there was about four guys there. And as we saw them fall off the board, he was the last guy there. We were holding our breath to see if we'd get through the pick. We got through the pick, and we were excited to get him. So.
Safeties or just four overall guys?
We had four overall guys that we were targeting that we had ranked a lot higher. And then you just kind of watched them get picked off one by one. And then, you know, you kind of held your breath that Earl would be there. So kind of sweated it out. We had one guy left with about 10 picks to go. So you're just kind of waiting on your time. And we got him. So, Jeff.
Yeah, I know you're doing the best available. But how you even said before the draft, this class of safeties is as good as it's been in a while. It's such a tough position to find guys this year. Did you kind of go on thinking that you eventually would have gotten safety at some point in this draft?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the way it is. You know, you can say that, but all of a sudden there was a run there. You know, you saw, I think, Shamarco Thomas went, Phillip Thomas went. You know, you're kind of looking at it and holding your breath. I think then there was a run on centers, you know, at one point in time. So it's just kind of how it plays itself out. So, but we're not going to force the issue. We felt that we got the most value we could with our fourth pick, obviously, picking up Matt, and then the ability to bounce back in the fifth round and get Earl, I think, you know, so far so good. So we're kind of holding on here. We don't have a pick in the sixth round, so and then we got four coming up in the seventh, so we'll see how it plays itself out. But three.
Interchangeability with your safeties? Do they have to be in box and out?
Interchangeability? Did you?
Flexibility versus,
awesome.
You know.
Wikipedia that, give them credit. Interchangeability. I mean, there has to be some versatility, you know, especially for quarterbacks. If they always know which safety is going to be down, then it's real easy to see where, you know, where the reduction side is going to come from, because it's always that guy, whether he lines up high or doesn't line up high. You know, and I think when you have the ability to play both, you know, to be a center field player, but also to play down in the box, that helps. And we think Earl can do that. So.
Equally, or is he stronger in one and needs help with the other?
I couldn't go until we get him out there on the field. I can't give you yay or nay. So.
What's that? What you saw on tape.
Yeah. Then both equally on tape.
You said you had one pick left with 10 to go. Did you think about moving up to get him somewhere?
No. You know, I think I think sometimes you get kind of caught in the moment and you're going to panic, like, we need to get this guy. But then, you know, you don't want to mortgage your future. You just kind of sit there and let it unfold, you know, and see how it works itself out. But, besides moving up a couple picks to ensure that we got Matt, just because there was so much value, you know, getting a kid that probably a couple rounds before we thought he was going to be gone way before that. But besides that, we felt like we could hold, and we'll see where we are, and we were fortunate enough to get him. So
you've had a few weeks here now with the players and the mini camp. Can you tell us a little about what you think about Nate Allen, a guy who's been here for a while, but for various reasons just kind of hasn't maybe lived up to that second round billing?
Yeah, I really enjoyed having Nate since I've been here. You know, works extremely hard. He's got a skill set, can run, change direction. Watching film, you know he's a physical player. Obviously, we're not hitting anybody in pads. And now it's just the learning process of him being able to diagnose plays and make decisions and some of those things. So when we saw him in the 3 days of minicamp, he seemed like he was around the ball. So we're encouraged with Nate right now. I know John Lovett, our secondary coach, and Billy Davis, our defensive coordinator, are excited to work with him, because I know Billy had him as a very high pick coming out. You know, and was really intrigued with them when we got here, and it's so far so good. You know, and we'll see as we continue to go along, but I think he's a guy that, you know, we got to see what we can do and get out of Nate, but I think he's got, obviously, the skill set to be a really good safety in this league.
Hey, Chip, you said you spoke to NC State's coach, or I guess the former staff. What did O'Brien and John Turner say about
him? They love him. So, you know, the first thing, and it wasn't John. I talked to actually Dana Bible, who used to coach here, and I've known Dana for a long time. And he was their offensive coordinator, who's been with them, just said the type of guy you want to have in your building, the first thing he said, go get him. Physical, explosive, you know, we'll really hit you. You know, just the type of guy that will make your team better. He's a real leader. People are going to follow him.
Based on what you saw film, was he someone who was asked to come up and cover tight ends or cover slot receivers in college?
Not as much slot receivers, just because of their scheme. They're a big zone blitz operation. But the one thing that really stands out when you see him on film is his physicality. A very, very tough, hard-nosed physical football player. And you look at his numbers. He ran 4.46. He's got a vertical of 40 inches. You can see the explosiveness in his numbers, and they match up. So, led their team in tackles. I think he had 119 tackles this past season. So, he real tough, hard-nosed kid.
Is he someone you met with?
Our staff met with him. I did not meet with him personally, but, they interviewed him at the combine. And then John Lovett went down and personally worked him out in a personal workout. So.
You mentioned that you spoke to Nick Foles about drafting Barkley. What did you say to him?
I've talked to everybody. I talked to Brent Celek when we picked a tight end. We talked to Jason Peters and Harrimans and those guys. Every position that we've taken somebody, I keep our guys informed. So I just told them that, who we picked, what we're doing and moving forward, and looking forward to seeing those guys here on Monday.
Was it brought to your attention that the three previous picks that you made, those players played for teams that the only three losses you had at Oregon in the last 2 years? LSU and Southern Cal.
Was that brought to my attention? No, but I really appreciate you bringing that up now. That was awesome.
Did you realize that?
Did I realize that? No.
It's kind of just a coincidence that it turned out that way?
I think a unique coincidence. I mean, that didn't. We did not play NC State, and we did not play Oklahoma, so. But that is interesting. I didn't know that. I mean, I know those guys came from great programs, but wasn't aware of those three gut-wrenching losses. So we had a good day going for a while. But
your overall safety picture, you brought the two guys in who had a lot of experience in free agency, and then you have Nate coming back. You had Kurt who has experience. You trapped this guy. Do you feel like you've kind of got a diverse set of guys here to choose from and work out and compete?
Yes.
As far as their skill sets?
Yes.
Happy. I mean, do you feel like you need to still look at the secondary? Obviously, that was
no. Again, we've done it all day long. Is that what we believe is the best available guy at that time when we're picking? So, Earl's somebody that we in a talented safety class that we had kind of targeted. So, we were happy to get him. But it's not like we're looking at any position on our team and saying, "Hey, we're all set there." Let's not worry about that. If there's an opportunity to improve us as a group, we're going to do that. So that's kind of been our mindset through the whole day. So I'm pleased with the safety so far that we get a chance to see him, with Pat Chung coming in here and Kenny and those guys that we've been running around, add them to Kurt, add them to Nate. You got Colt Anderson still back there. Whitley can play corner. Whitley can play safety. So, we have some depth there, but, we're still short of making any major decisions in terms of what we're going to do. We haven't had pads on. We haven't done anything from that standpoint. And for all of those guys, the big factor, especially with your safety guys, is where's the special teams help? And what type of teams players are those guys? Because it's such an integral position from a special team standpoint. All of those guys need to be able to be a four special team type of group, because it's the nature of the position. So
how does Earl project as a special teams player?
I really haven't watched a ton of that, so I can't. I'm not going to go out on a limb here and say he's Colt, but I can see just from his skill set, I think he could be a great kick cover punt guy for you just because of his speed and his physical ability to tackle.
That 4.4 combine speed, how did that translate on film?
You can see it. You can see the explosiveness on tape.
I know you said not to make much of who's first string, second string, but how did your first string safeties look in your practice last week?
We got so many reps when we were doing things that, I'm not looking at the film saying who was in with the first group, second group, third group. So, and again, it's tough to evaluate defensive players in a non-padded practice. They're backpedaling, they're breaking on the ball, but there really has to be, especially with the way the rules are now, there's got to be a lot of cooperation going on where, I think the kid would have broken the ball and made a great play, but he's pulling out of it because we can't have any contact. So, probably the tougher positions to evaluate when you're looking at some people are the defensive positions because of the cooperation that has to go on, with the collective bargaining agreement. But not only just that, it's just when you practice in shorts and T-shirts, it's still not the real game. So until you get the pads on and can kind of see some guys make plays and scrimmage situations, that kind of dictates it. There's a lot of guys, and we've all seen them. They look great with shorts and T-shirts on, but we're not going to play in shorts and T-shirts on Sunday. So until we really put the pads on, your full evaluation's not going to really come to light. So.
When you put him on, do you think you'll kind of mix your combinations to see how guys
yeah.
play?
Yeah, always got to mix,
I mean, do you project him as a strong safety, free safety? Do you even have those, or is it?
We're more of, ideally, you'd like to be a right safety, left safety operation. you know, so that people don't know where it's always coming from. Just like I said earlier, if there's always somebody that's a down safety, I think it's, you know, it's a little bit easier for you to diagnose what, you know, quarterbacks that are going up to the line of scrimmage, it's easy to diagnose. No matter where that guy aligns, he's always going to be down in the front at some point in time. So, you know, the ideal world, you'd like to have, you know, two guys that can do both, that can play in the middle of the field and can also come down in the box. But you also not going to force that. You know, if you don't, then you need to scheme it up schematically to make sure that you do. So, and we're ways away from making those decisions in terms of what do we have from that standpoint. So,
if your board had fallen a certain way, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a chance that you could have gone through the entire draft without taking anybody in a secondary or anybody at a certain other position.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you can't force it. And I think when you do, you dilute the talent of your overall roster if you're just saying, hey, we got to get a guy at this position. And, you know, we're going to end up drafting a guy that's a non-draftable guy, doesn't have a draftable grade just to fulfill a position. And, you know, that's not, you know, probably not the way you're supposed to. I don't believe that's the way, and I don't think our organization believes that's the way you should approach a draft. The teams that are the best at it, you know, continue to take what's out there because that's the unique thing about it. You know, we all can identify who the great players are, but, you know, I'm sure everybody in the country last year knew Andrew Luck was a real talented player, but only one team gets him, you know. So, you know, it's what do you do when your pick is up and how do you utilize it and who's going to be the Russell Wilson of this year, you know, that everybody, you know, everybody had a shot at taking him, but for some reason or another, he fell through the cracks. And that's just the way this whole process works. But I think when you start to reach because you have a need in a position, then it makes it difficult. And again, that's why I think Howie and those guys did a great job in free agency of identifying that. We plugged a lot of holes. You know, you lost DRC and Nnamdi in the offseason, but we felt like with Fletch and Kerry coming in that we weren't going to sit here on draft day and say, we got to get a corner because we don't have any corners. So, you know, you felt like you got two guys that have played in the league and have proven they can play in the league. So now we felt pretty good going in, looking at our positions so that we don't have to reach. We're just going to take what's available. And our overall goal, can we improve this roster? So,
are you the same way with corners, right and left, or would you take
ideally, you'd like to be right and left, but, you know, you may have one corner that's stronger than the other because the team has, you know, you're playing Calvin Johnson, you know, who's probably the premier receiver in the league. Do you match up with him, you know, and if in the ideal world, just philosophically, you'd like to be right and left, you know. But if Calvin Johnson's on that side and that guy's on that side, then everybody knows it's man-to-man coverage, you know. So if you don't have to tip your hand, then don't. But you also don't want to be caught and let your disguise be a liability where you're in mismatch situations. Well, we didn't want to show them what we were in, but they're running by that corner. So, you know, in the ideal world, you'd like to be balanced. But, you know, it doesn't always happen that way. You know, our job is to put our players in position to make plays.
Thanks, Bill. So.